Shabbat Tov, my friends. Hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Shabbat. We're up to day three, finishing what we start. And I want to dedicate this Torah to our brothers and sisters in Israel, specifically to the Chayalim, the holy soldiers of the IDF, who despite so many obstacles, tragedies, difficulty, injuries, went back to the front lines to finish what they started. I mentioned something from this week's Parsha in the chapter, that the Torah informs us of categories of exemptions from the army, right? The Torah tells us that a person who is fearful of battle is exempt from military service. The Torah then says explicitly, because we're concerned that his own fear could diminish the morale of his fellow soldiers. But I mentioned in the chapter that there are three other categories, and actually spoke about it today on Shabbat at MGE. The first is someone who builds a home that hasn't lived in it yet. The second is someone who planted a vineyard but hasn't redeemed it. And the third is someone who became engaged to a woman but has not yet married her. And the Torah gives us the reason why. It's kind of like strange categories. Somebody that built a home but hasn't lived in it. Someone who plants a vineyard, hasn't redeemed it. Someone who's engaged, hasn't gotten married. Because the concern is that the person who built the home and, God forbid, passes away, will have to endure someone else inaugurating that home. And the person who plants the vineyard will have to suffer another person redeeming it. And someone who's engaged will have to have someone else marrying his beloved. But why are these three individuals singled out any more than anyone else? We're concerned, and of course, the Torah is concerned for all human life. Why is it that these three types of people, someone who builds a home and engaged in a vineyard, more than anyone else? So I shared an idea from my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Dr. Armi Berman. He is the president of Yeshiva University, that it is just even more distressing to have someone's life, God forbid, cut short after working so hard to build something and being pulled away from it before being able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. War is always awful, and any human life, all human life, of course, is valuable, but it's even more distressful to lose something that you've spent a lifetime building, whether it's a business, a home, or a relationship. But I wanted to continue to dedicate this idea to the Chayalim, because it's an unbelievable thing that these exemptions that the Torah mentions only apply in what's called Milchemet Reshut, an optional war, a war where Israel is expanding its boundaries. But a Milchemet Chov, which is the war that we're in now, which is really called also a Milchemet Mitzvah, an obligatory war. What's an obligatory war? October 7th, being attacked. I also talked about Yoni ben Netanyahu in the chapter, who was rescuing in Entebbe 50 years ago. It was just the anniversary. Prime Minister's brother, Yoni Netanyahu, was killed rescuing the hostages at Entebbe 50 years ago. But all of these situations, October 7th, the rescue at Entebbe, these are not optional wars. These are not wars to expand Israel's boundaries. These are wars to simply protect Jewish life when we are attacked, when Jews are taken hostage, when Hamas, Hezbollah break through and attack innocents in Israel. None of these exemptions actually apply. In fact, the sages teach that, I'll give you the line from the Gemara. It's a Mishnah, actually, in Sota. It says, "Bamedzvom Amurim." When do these exemptions that I mentioned before, these three categories, "B'mochemet harishut, b'mochemet the mitzvah, hakol yotzin," everybody goes out to war, "afilu chatan mechedro," even a groom from his chamber, "vekala mechupata," or a bride from her wedding canopy. That line from the Mishnah is so powerful, because how many Instagram reels did we get, or just videos did you see of people, of brides and grooms smashing their glass at their wedding and going right back literally the next day after their chuppah, after their wedding, back out to war? And the Torah obviously takes self-defense incredibly seriously, but those military exemptions, which are important, that are mentioned in this week's Parsha, do not apply to the situation we're in right now. And according to some rabbis, even individuals that were living outside of Israel may have some sort of responsibility and obligation to serve. So I really want to just share this Torah in honor of all the men and women that went back into battle, even after a chuppah, even though they have businesses that are threatened to close down, because how long can you leave your business when you're a reservist in Israel? Some of these reservists have been in the army for months and months. So it's an unbelievable mesirat nefesh. It's an unbelievable sacrifice that so many of our brothers and sisters have made. And I really want to just give a shout out to them. And even though many of us listening to this are in Chutz La'aretz, are not living in Israel, we're living in the diaspora, we feel we are part of this battle too. And even if we're not serving, we are supporting. And we're visiting Israel, we're sending money to Israel and our love, and we're dedicating our Torah and everything that we do to the success and the safety of our brothers and sisters in Israel. They do not face this enemy alone. We are with them, behind them, and may this Torah serve as a chut for them. Shavuot Tov.